This past week, New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy signed a number of gun limits and regulations into law. The announced intent by Murphy and the law proponents is to, in their minds, reduce gun violence. Among these new laws is a 10-round limit for gun magazines versus the current 15. Our first guest today heads an organization which says that this magazine limit law is unconstitutional on a variety of grounds. Here to state his case and the case of his organization is the executive director of the Association of New Jersey Rifle and Pistol Clubs, as well as the only NRA sitting board member from New Jersey, Scott Bach. Thanks for being here today, Scott.
Great to be back. And it's, you know, it's a sad day for New Jersey with the passage of these bills and the signing into law. You know, the ironic thing about it is that not one of these bills would make anyone any safer. They all target law-abiding citizens, and the legislature and the governor have squandered an important opportunity that they had where they could have made schools safer and where they could actually try to severely punish those who misuse firearms rather than targeting the law-abiding or the tools themselves.
And let me just run down quickly an overview of the 6A. 1217 allows a police officer, family, household member of a gun owner to petition for what's called an extreme risk protective order in order to have weapons seized if they feel someone's is in a psychological situation. 1181 requires law enforcement to seize firearms from individuals deemed by a mental health professional to pose a threat to themselves or others. The 2757 requires background checks for private gun sales. That's even though New Jersey already requires them to get the permit or ID card needed to purchase a firearm. 2758 creates a stricter standard of what applicants for a concealed carry permit must show to prove they need it, as if that isn't tough enough already in this state. We've talked with gun shop owners about that in the past. 2759 adopts the federal definition of armor-piercing ammunition into state law. And the one I want to focus on here with Scott is 2761 imposes a 10-round limit on the capacity of gun magazines. As I said in the intro, it's down from the current 15. And by the way, all of these will be instantly, four of the bills, including 2761, the magazine limit, take effect immediately. The risk protective orders take effect in September. The background check takes effect in October. But as I said, we're focusing on A2761. The 15 down to 10-round limit. What is the reasoning that the proponents of the bill presented for their side?
Well, they didn't present any reasoning, okay? You know, for them, they don't distinguish between law-abiding citizens and criminals. And, you know, one of the things they say is, well, if you have lower-capacity magazines, then homicidal maniacs will have to pause to reload, giving potential victims a chance to tackle the attacker or escape, which is, you know, anybody who knows anything about firearms knows that a magazine can be changed in under a second. So that argument goes out the window. The other thing that throws it out the window, too, is that if you look at some of the tragedies that have happened, 10-round magazines were used. Columbine, Virginia Tech, the recent Florida tragedy, Parkland, there were 10-round magazines used. So in what kind of logic says let's use the same number of rounds that was used in a tragedy and will be safer? There's no connection to that. Look, the bottom line is, the other thing is that their logic presupposes that it's okay for a criminal or a madman to have 10 rounds but not 11, which is also silly. The bottom line is somebody who shouldn't have access to firearms should have zero rounds available, and you should severely punish the misuse of any number of rounds rather than banning an entire class of defensive tools to law-abiding citizens, which is what the net effect of this bill is. It turns a million New Jersey law-abiding gun owners into criminals with the stroke of a pen.
I mean, let's just look at the sheer math of the situation. I'm the law-abiding citizen who is now forced, if I want to legally own my firearm to protect my home and my family, to get rid of my 15-round mags and replace it with a 10. Let's see. I doubt that the bad guy is going to follow the law first and foremost, so I can read a scoreboard pretty good. I see the score 15 to 10. I lose.
Absolutely, but anybody who thinks criminals are going to use or limit themselves to 15 rounds isn't recognizing that, the standard capacity magazines in the United States are over 15 rounds, 20 rounds, 30 rounds. So, the gang kicking in your door at 3 in the morning is going to have 20 and 30 round magazines. And what does New Jersey want to do? They want to tie your hands behind your back and limit you to 10 rounds. So you're fumbling in the dark to change magazines to defend your life and your family's life. It really is shameful.
So this law, like I said, is in effect as of Wednesday when it was signed. So someone has 15 round magazines. What are they now required to do by this law?
Well, the first thing is there is a 180-day implementation period before the ban kicks in. So there is 6 months within which gun owners who have these magazines have several options. One of them is you can surrender them to the state, you can destroy them, you can sell them, or you can permanently block them so they can accept no more than 10 rounds. This was not the legislature's idea. Based on testimony of gun owners, the legislature said, oh, maybe we ought to, let you keep your property, but you can modify it so it's permanently blocked so it can't accept more than 10 rounds. So there's 180 days within which to make them compliant. However, in their infinite wisdom, the legislature didn't amend another part of the law that still applies that says it's illegal to transport magazines at a large capacity. They changed the definition, but they didn't change the part that says it is illegal transport. So theoretically, you have 180 days to make it compliant, but if you want to transport it to the gunsmith, technically, you're a criminal for doing that. So, listen, it's a tangled web that our legislature weaves in New Jersey. This is why we brought a lawsuit. ANJRPC, the Association of New Jersey Rifle and Pistol Clubs, brought a lawsuit to overturn this magazine ban. In fact, within 15 minutes of the governor signing, before the ink was dry on the paper, we filed our case. Federal lawsuit. It seeks to overturn it on several grounds, Chris. One of them is the Second Amendment. Another is that it's an unconstitutional taking of property. And there's also an equal protection ground because the state exempts certain classes of people like retired law enforcement, but doesn't do that in parallel, for example, for veterans, for former military. They're not exempted. And, of course, former law enforcement and former military are essentially civilian status. And so, those civilians have special rights versus ordinary civilians that didn't have that service. So it's really crazy what we're dealing with right now. And again, the saddest part of all of this makes no one safer. It just harasses the people who follow the law, Chris.
And with those classifications who are being not in effect with this law and just lays prey to the civilian gun owner, given the requirements and the training that a civilian gun owner still has to go through, versus, let's say, the laws in Texas, as a compare and contrast, I would put a New Jersey civilian gun owner up against a Texas civilian gun owner, and I would bet New Jersey would be better on the target range than the Texan.
Well, that's a controversial statement. I have a feeling people in Texas might disagree. But
I'm just saying because of requirements and what they have to go through as far as safety, as far as security, as far as knowledge, as far as respect for the weapon and ability to use it and the training to use it, I think the New Jersey gun owner goes through a lot more of a process than other people do in most other states.
Well, you're definitely right about that. The process of being licensed to become a gun owner is absolutely onerous in New Jersey. It's unheard of. What you have to do, you basically have to beg the government for permission. You get fingerprinted, background check, mental health check, poked, prodded. I like to say everything short of a colonoscopy before you're given a license to own a firearm, not even to carry, just to own it. And, of course, that's not enough in New Jersey. There's also proposals on the table right now to mandate training before you could own a gun, and to tax gun ownership and to, just make the whole process more and more progressively difficult for the average person.
So we're Scott Bach, who's the executive director of the Association of New Jersey Rifle and Pistol Clubs. He's also New Jersey's NRA sitting board member. ANJRPC.org is a website for the association, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. You know what this situation creates, too, is because when you mentioned one of the options is to surrender your magazine to the state, you do not get money when you surrender it. But think of this. A criminal can go to a gun buyback program, hand over a stolen weapon, and get handed $300.
That is exactly right. You are dead on point with that. It's unbelievable. Listen, we don't talk a lot about the buybacks because they don't affect gun rights, but we think they're ridiculous. When you think about it, the concept that, you know, the no questions asked buyback basically allows criminals to get rid of crime guns, no questions asked, and get paid for it. So, but yeah, you're right. And, you know, the way things work in New Jersey, you know, money only flows one way, from the citizen to the government, not the other way around. That's one of the reasons why we have a, as a basis of our lawsuit, the takings, the notion that the government is taking property without compensation is a major constitutional violation. And I predict this case is eventually going to get to the U.S. Supreme Court. There's another one out of California that's already in the pipeline. And eventually we're going to have this issue resolved for the whole country. You can't, listen, these tools exist, defensive tools exist to repel evil from good people. When you take them away from good people, you turn them into victims. That's what this new law does. It turns honest citizens into victims. It is based on the naive assumption that criminals follow gun bans. They don't. They laugh at gun bans. And again, it squanders a golden opportunity to make meaningful change, to make schools safer, to harden our schools. Why is there nothing like that that the governor has signed? Why didn't the legislature do anything to actually make our students safer? You know, we can debate gun policy all day. The bottom line, if somebody walks into a school, somebody needs to be there to stop them. And our government has done nothing to advance that.
Not just individual schools have taken it upon themselves. High Point Regional, for example, in our neck of the woods in northwest New Jersey, is a good example of taking charge of the situation, knowing full well that Trenton is going to bow to the NJEA.
Absolutely. But you would think, listen, first of all, we all pay enough school taxes that there ought to be law enforcement in every school, right? The fact that the NJEA is opposed to allowing schools or empowering schools to fight back in an emergency boggles the mind, okay? Because what is that really saying? I mean, listen, we all know when seconds count in an emergency, police are minutes away at best, and sometimes they don't even come there at all, or when they do come there, they might mass outside for an hour or 2 hours figuring out what to do, like what happened in the nightclub incident in Florida a few years ago. So if you don't have the ability to stop an attack, you're setting people up for slaughter. It is shameful that there is opposition to hardening our schools and giving schools the ability to fight back in an emergency. Think about what that means. That means they're saying we would rather have students, you know, just waiting in a room for the door to be kicked in and to be slaughtered than to have a fighting chance. That is reprehensible. That is absolutely, it's unconscionable.
We have to wrap up here, but you mentioned how the options of what to do if you're holding a 15-round magazine and what you are now required to do with it, the several options that you mentioned. For the non-gun owner, are magazines traceable? I'm asking this only because if someone says, maybe for the wrong reasons or for whatever the reason is, you know what, I'm going to not surrender them as a personal protest. I'll just keep them to the side, and at least I know I'm fighting back in my own little part of the world. Can those magazines be traced, and can doors start getting knocked on?
Well, magazines themselves are not registered, and they can't be traced. However, they frequently come with firearms that you buy. So, you know, and firearms are registered and are traceable in New Jersey. And so, you know, listen, the New Jersey government is aware of every legal firearm that is purchased. So if they know that somebody, I like to say, you know, buy it yesterday, ban it today, go to jail tomorrow. If you bought it yesterday, they know you have it. And if it is the kind of firearm that was sold with a magazine over 10 rounds, they know you have that magazine, or they think you still have it. So what most gun owners are going to wind up doing is permanently blocking these magazines so that, you know, basically to make them compliant. That is, you know, it's either that or lose your property.
Yeah,
Your property.
And for the gun owner, it's most cost effective as opposed to just handing something over and not getting compensated for it.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, that is what most gun owners are doing. So they're going to have to go out, spend money to effectively make their lawfully acquired property only function them to make it compliant with New Jersey law, which, by the way, makes them less valuable outside of New Jersey. So, you know, their property value has just gone down. They have to essentially mechanically alter their property permanently so it can't be reversed. So,
and also makes it less effective against criminals who we can rest assured are not going to be really caring much about these laws, if anything.
There's no doubt about that. I mean, that has been proven over and over and over again. These kinds of laws just make honest citizens less safe, less able to defend themselves. You know, the U.S. Supreme Court says that law enforcement has no legal duty to protect individual citizens from harm. That means we're on our own in an emergency. You know, the same government that abandons its duty to defend us and protect us, individual citizens, shouldn't also prevent us from protecting ourselves.
And if you're listening, if you have any questions or if you are one of those who are confused about the original intent of the Second Amendment, read the notes of people like Madison and Monroe and what the idea and the concept of militia truly meant and means. It's not about a musket. It's about a liberty and a right. That's the whole situation, part of the situation, at least behind the Second Amendment. Learn more about this specific case and the lawsuit being launched against the limiting of magazine capacities from 15 down to 10 in New Jersey. You can find out more at the website for the Association of New Jersey Rifle and Pistol Clubs. That's anjrpc.org. We'll be talking with their executive director. Also, the only NRA sitting board member from New Jersey, Scott Bach. Thanks for the information, the explanation of all this, and best of luck with your efforts to make things right versus the wrongs that these laws are creating.
Thanks so much, Chris.